This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hate shopping for pants? You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the answer to every guy's closet struggles. With their customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric sourced from Japan, and all-day comfort, these pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Seriously, these might be the only pants you'll ever need. Style them with the Jet Setter Tee, Legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery Legacy Polo sweater, and you've got timeless staples to meet your everyday wardrobe needs. Jack Archer is just better. For a limited time, get 15% off using the code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your entire order.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Rico Bronya! Welcome in to episode number 581 of Rico Bronya. My name is Evan Roberts. Today, we focus on our off-season plan. We've danced around this for weeks, but today I reveal my Mets off-season plan. Pete will reveal his Mets offseason plan, and we will hear from you. I have collected these emails for over a month. We've even collected some audio from some of my fellow WF fan coworkers who happen to be Met fans to hear their offseason plan. So a lot of plans, a lot of big ideas. The best part of an episode like this is you may like some aspects of my plan. You may not like all of it. You might like some aspects of random emailers' plans. You may like some of the WFN personality plans, and then you could mix it all together and basically take it as your own. And when you talk to your friends who are Met fans, you can say, yes, I came up with this brilliant idea all by myself, even if I took a little bit of Evan and a little bit of Hoff and a little bit of Licata and a little bit of emailers to the Rico B. So some things you may like, some things you may not like. We will focus on that today on this edition of the Rico. But before we get there, there was some Mets news on Wednesday, November 5th. Here's how I would define this Met news. I would define it as annoying. And that is the idea that Anton Richardson and Jeremy Hefner will be together on the coaching staff of Walt Weiss in Atlanta. Both Jeremy Hefner joins the Braves as their pitching coach, and Anton Richardson joins the Braves as their first base coach. And I think all of our reactions upon seeing that piece of news was, oh my God, this is going to come back and kill us. That's your typical Met fan reaction. Here we go. Anton Richardson turned Juan Soto into essentially a 40-40 guy, and now he's going to Atlanta, and all those dirty tricks that the Mets took advantage of in 2025, it will now go Atlanta's way. I get it. I felt the same way. Not as much about Jeremy Hefner. I think that when we talked about the changes the Mets were going to make to their coaching staff, it was probably time for Jeremy Hefner. He was not a failed pitching coach by any stretch. He had some success here, but the philosophy wasn't working. And when you have failures, big failures, not all on Jeremy Hefner, of course, you have to make changes. And Hefner survived multiple managers, as we know. And so removing Jeremy Hefner from the Met coaching staff was not some kind of egregious crime. Him going to Atlanta is not some egregious crime. It's one of those scenarios that I think if we're being fair, it just stinks. You know, you knew he was going to end up somewhere. He's very highly regarded. There's a reason why Hefner survived multiple Mets managers and survived multiple Mets general managers, because they liked Jeremy Hefner. He was a part of the famed pitching lab that had such success in 2024. So I think that sometimes you can be annoyed by something, but also understand all about it. The Mets needed to move on from Jeremy Hefner. It was probably the right call to make. We'll see what this new staff looks like and how successful it is. And he was bound to take a job. And it just so happens that that job is in the NL East. So the Hefner thing, honestly, if you're worried about him bringing great success to Atlanta, he's a good pitching coach. He may bring success to Atlanta, but it doesn't mean the Mets made the wrong decision to move on from him. The Anton Richardson thing is weird. So just to move back a little bit so we can kind of get this story straight and try to figure out what actually happened. The Mets got rid of all of Carlos Mendoza's coaches. Anton Richardson, who had a contract expiring, was one of the guys they wanted to bring back. And so the assumption was, certainly us as Met fans, hey, we saw one of the impacts he had. There's a lot of impacts coaches have that we can't see, but certainly the stolen bases and how successful the Mets were, and obviously Juan Soto having the year that he had in terms of stealing bases, was one of the things that jumped out at you. So why wouldn't you want to bring him back? And we hear a couple of weeks ago, couldn't come to a deal. And you can jump to whatever conclusion you want. The conclusion I jumped to, just really using my own brain, not that there was any great reporting on it. I know Andy Martino had a report that, hey, it's likely that he just wants to leave. I just kind of agree with that. Like, that would have been my logic, just using logic. Hey, they got rid of all the coaches on the staff. This is no longer a safe position to have. Carlos Mendoza is coming into the 2026 season, no matter what anybody says, on a hot seat. So is that really where you want to work? And so logically, Anton Richardson is going to be a hot free agent. He will go elsewhere. When he signs with Atlanta, again, we find this out on Wednesday, November 5th, the reaction is, well, why didn't they bring him back? And I said this on the air in real time, no reporting, just gut feeling. He probably wanted to leave. He probably didn't want to stay. I used an analogy with Tiki where I said, all right, Tiki, you're the running backs coach of the, you know, San Diego LA Chargers, and everybody gets fired, but they like you. But the Kansas City Chiefs come a calling and say, would you like to join Andy Reid's staff? Not that Walt Weiss is Andy Reid, but the Braves are, you know, a well-run organization. The odds are you're probably going to leave. That logic that I had is being completely dismissed by good reporting by Mike Puma and Anthony DeComo. And it isn't even just reporting. It's what Anton Richardson said. Anton Richardson told Mike Puma and other Met reporters who asked, he left the Braves because of a, quote, difference opinion over his value. Quote, I had a proposed salary with benefits included. The Mets had a proposed salary with benefits included. We differed on the salary part of it. So right then and there, it is about money. At least that's what Anton Richardson is telling that. telling us. Now, there's more to the story. According to Mike Puma, Anton Richardson circled back to the Mets at the very end, but the Mets couldn't offer the same deal as originally presented because of a restriction on the number of coaches allowed to receive a pension. The Mets had hired other coaches before Richardson circled back. There is so much to that that's weird. Number one, I did not know. I don't know how many of us knew that there was actually a limit on the amount of coaches that are eligible for pension. I can't blame the Mets for filling out their coaching staff. What I can blame the Mets for, and I know this is going to be the reaction of most Met fans, is Steve Cohen, you have a lot of money. We're not talking about millions of dollars. Why wouldn't you just make sure you get a deal done? I get that Anton Richardson was probably running a hard bargain. Why wouldn't he? He had a pretty good resume, a pretty good year, knew he was going to be a hot commodity. But I think that is absolutely a fair wonder as a Met fan to say, really? You let a guy who clearly did a good job from what we're able to see, and you wanted him back because you made him an offer to bring him back. So right from the top, it's not as if he was some overrated guy you didn't want to bring back. You wanted to bring him back, and it got hung up over money. And we live in this new world where we don't want to hear that. I don't think any Met fan wants to hear that. I don't think any Met fan who either pays a lot of money for tickets or just has higher expectations under this owner wants to hear that a coach who made a direct impact on something, one of the positives that the Mets had in 2025, is gone because you didn't want to pay him money and the Atlanta Braves were willing. Now, I hear all of this, and I do want to admit it feels like there's more to the story. It feels like there's a Met side of things that maybe they'll never tell us, or maybe we haven't gotten filled in yet. Like, and I'm just completely making this up, but I also want to give the Mets sort of a benefit of the doubt. And the reason I want to give them a benefit of the doubt is because Steve Cohen spends on this team. This isn't the Wilpon era. And so because of that, I never want to say, well, why did you cheap out on this? I want to think about all the possibilities. Is it possible, and I'm just spitballing here, that Anton Richardson was asking for something that he actually never even got from the Braves, but was demanding from the Mets? The Mets said, no, that's absurd. We're not paying that to you. He gets now into free agency, and the Braves make a good offer. You know, maybe right along what the Mets were offering. And now he comes back to the Mets to say, gee, can you match this? And I'll come back. And the Mets are like, hey, dude, it's too late. We just hired a bunch of coaches. So that is a scenario that I paint, and I am not reporting it. I am merely trying to figure the hell out what happened here, where the Mets aren't necessarily cheap, where the Mets made an offer, Richardson asked for a lot more, and much like the Pete Alonso free agency, Richardson goes into free agency, gets a good offer, but not as much as he wanted, comes back to the Mets. The Mets say it's too late, we can't offer you pension, and boom, he's with Atlanta. I think that's possible, but here's the bottom line, and I hope David Stearns understands this. I hope Steve Cohen understands this. I'm a nice guy, and I created a story that could be true, may not be true, to try to give you the benefit of the doubt, because I have a tough time believing a billionaire owner is letting Anton Richardson leave over a couple of shekels. But this fan base isn't going to give you the benefit of the doubt. This fan base is pissed. This fan base is pretty disgusted about what happened in the 2025 season. So as you begin this offseason, and as you hear our plans, all of our plans, some good, some bad, I want the Mets to understand something. This is fun. This is easy. It's a coach. At the end of the day, what does it mean? You're not getting the benefit of the doubt from this fan base. And you may not think it's a big deal. It'll be a big deal in May when people aren't in your building. So as we prepare for this offseason, understand that the Mets are going through a weird, weird offseason. It is weird. That would be the word I would use. Because after 2024, Met fans were high. They were excited. They were pumped up. It was such a memorable 24 season that you were going to get the benefit of the doubt on everything, especially when you sign Juan Soto. And so when you sign Frankie Montas, even though every sane person knew that's not good. You got the benefit of the doubt. When you brought in Clay Holmes, and I would argue that that move worked, but when you brought him in, you got the benefit of the doubt. Even when Pete Alonso was about to leave, right? We all thought the Mets are walking away from Pete Alonso. Whether you believe it or not, because you heard boos at Amazing Day, you were going to get the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt is dead. You're not getting it. May not feel fair, may not feel right, but that's where we are. When you have a season that the Mets just had, and again, we're dancing with free agents like Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz, and we already hear that a coach who is popular is gone because you didn't pay him enough, whatever the backstory is, that benefit of the doubt I just gave you, I hope you enjoyed it because it's all gone now. Now it's about making the moves that A, make your team better, but also make your fans happy. At the end of the day, you have to make the moves that win. If you make moves that eventually lead the Mets to wins, we'll all be happy. Even if
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Pete Alonso is somewhere else, even if, dare I say, Edwin Diaz is somewhere else. But during the offseason, when you're still trying to sell tickets for next year, understand that this fan base is pissy. So just wanted to say that. Now let's get to our offseason plans. Before I tell you mine, before you hear Hoff's, before we hear a lot of the WFAN personalities, we will read some of your emails. But before we get to that, Hoff, your thoughts.
You, my friend, nailed it with the last part that this fan base is extremely pissed off, and the slightest move that is anti-Met or that bites in the ass, it is not good. It's not a good sign. So to fix that, go crazy in the offseason. Don't worry about the labs. Don't worry about the employees. Worry about the players. That's the biggest thing. So you nailed it, though, my friend. You did.
I try. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on a coach, but when we get now to free agency and trades and building this roster and improving this team, you got to get it right.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's tricky because you're already dealing with two major free agents. And we've done episodes already replacing Edwin Diaz, replacing Pete Alonso. Joe B, I didn't need to record Joe Meningo. I'm going to tell you what Joe B has said to me and what he has said on the air about this offseason. It's very simple, but I understand it, which is you got to keep Diaz and you got to keep Alonso. I don't care about anything else. And I understand where he's coming from, but where I would disagree with him is that's not enough. I mean, I get the importance of keeping Diaz. No doubt about it. We've done pods on it. I get the importance of even keeping Pete Alonso. And that also features an emotional attachment. But this is a team that had Edwin Diaz last year. He had a great year. Had Pete Alonso last year, had a great year. And they didn't win enough games and they missed the playoffs. So the Mets are in this weird spot where to even maintain, they have to keep those two guys. And that's just to maintain. And then they've got to go get better. I want to start with Anthony. Anthony wrote this email. And I want to tell you, a lot of these emails, they've come all within the last month. I tried to keep everybody that sent their offseason plan as early as October 1st, all the way up until today. I wanted to keep those plans because there were a lot of plans as soon as this season was over. And I said, let's take a deep breath. Let's wait. There'll be a time for it. Let this disaster of a season marinate. And then trust me, we will get there. So this one from Anthony actually came back in early October. There's only one name I'm going to have to cut off his list because the name he included was Shane Bieber, who surprisingly exercised his player option to stay in the Toronto Blue Jays organization. So Shane Bieber is no longer available. But I want you to read, I want to hear Anthony's email. We'll go through his idea. We'll go through many more ideas. I'll give you an official idea. We got a lot of ideas. Okay, a lot of ideas floating around. Anthony writes, guys, my name is Anthony. I'm a huge fan, and we appreciate it. First of all, I want to apologize for this long-ass email, as I really wanted to get your feedback on my plan and ideas moving forward this offseason. You're always honest, which I appreciate. I don't always agree with you, but I know you always do your research, and you make your opinions based on the truth and how you feel, which is refreshing. You never have a hidden agenda, which we all appreciate. That is true. You may think I'm an idiot, which is fair. You may not agree with me, but I promise you, I have one agenda. And you know what that agenda is? It isn't even downloads, which we appreciate. My agenda is winning. And sometimes we get there in all sorts of different ways, but that's all I want. So before I continue this email, in relation to Pete Alonso, I want to make this very, very clear before we continue. If you told me, Evan, the Mets are going to win the World Series, but Pete Alonso is gone. In fact, he's in Philly, and it's really going to sting. But you win the World Series. Or you keep Pete Alonso. He ends up hitting 500 home runs. He goes to the Hall of Fame, and you never win a goddamn thing. I want you to understand that that is the dumbest question a human being could ask me. I want the New York Mets to win the World Series, period. So the emotional attachment that we have towards players, it's a real thing. But understand, I want to win. So if I want to keep Pete Alonso, it's not because I have an emotional attachment to him. It's because genuinely, right or wrong, no hidden agenda, I think he gives them the best chance to win. Anyhow, I'm sorry, Nick. Anthony, let me get back to your email. Enough of the ass-kissing. I think this team really can be changed in just a few moves. The first thing I would do is give Pete a 4 or 5 year deal. However, Pete and Brandon Nimmo should be the primary DHs. Nimmo gets between 80 and 90 games. Pete gets between 60 and 70, and then you spread around the rest. Based on these past year's numbers, that would be a lot of production from the DH spot. If we trade for Steven Kwan and we have him play left field when Nimmo DHs, here are the moves I would consider. So right away, he wants Steven Kwan. In fact, here's his specific offer for Steven Kwan. Mark Vientos, Nick Morabito, and Eli Serrano for Steven Kwan. That would be the Mets' two prospects outside of the top 10, but decent prospects, and Mark Vientos, who still has really team control and has that star potential. Obviously, he won't be playing third base in Cleveland. Could be playing a little first base, could be playing DH. It seems like a relatively fair offer. My gut would say Cleveland would need more, but fair enough. That's what you've got getting for Steven Kwan to play left field. He would go on and sign Tyler Rogers to a two-year, $10 million deal. 2 years for $10 million. Or 2 years, $10 million per, I think is how he labels it. Pete Alonso on a five-year deal, paying him $37 million a year. Boy, that's a lot of money. Now, I'm not going to fret over money because there is a billionaire owner, but I got to tell you, that's a lot. Even the 5 years, I don't think the Mets will go to 5 years. I'll tell you that. Edwin Diaz, three-year deal, $25 million per. Dominic Smith, interesting, one-year, $4 million deal. So those are his free agent signings. Dom Smith's interesting because if you're going to bring Pete back, and you're going to hear a lot of this, I have this as part of my plan too, but you want him to DH more, who's your first baseman? And Dom Smith, who's turned himself into like a serviceable part-time major leaguer who's got a good glove at first base, can hit a little bit. He's not the everyday star we thought he could be, but if you bring him back in that kind of role where he's playing first base 60 times in the right matchups, I don't hate it. But Anthony continues, and this is the real fun part. I've listed three trades for pitchers. Obviously, we only do one of these three trades. Here is hypotheticals. Joe Ryan from Minnesota for Brandon Sproat, Ronnie Mauricio, and Jacob Reimer. That's a lot to give up. You're giving up two top 10 prospects plus Ronnie Mauricio, who I guess isn't really considered a prospect anymore. Trade number two, Freddy Peralta from the Milwaukee Brewers for Brandon Sproat, Will Watson, Jacob Reimer, and Ronnie Mauricio. Dude, I got to stop you right there. I am very interested in Freddy Peralta. In fact, you'll hear more about him on my Mets plan, like the one I'm going to do. That is way too much. You got to keep this in mind about Freddy Peralta. 1 year left. Now, it's a bargain. He's only making $8 million, so you're going to have, I guess, more teams that would be involved, but that's a rental. He is a rental player, and I think what we need to do, more so with Peralta than Tarik Skubal, Tarik Skubal is completely different. I'll get to that in a bit, is we got to compare the Corbin Burnes trade. Corbin Burnes was more established than Freddy Peralta, and you're talking about Joey Ortiz, DL Hall, and a draft pick. Obviously, the Mets can't offer this draft pick, but you're talking about two top 10 prospects and Ronnie Mauricio for a rental. I think that while I appreciate how much you brought to the table, I am not making that trade. I'm telling you, I'm not trading Brandon Sproat for Freddy Peralta. I'll go that far. I can't do that. It's 1 year. And it's 1 year of a pitcher who's good, very good, not Tarik Skubal. So for those who are wondering, but I heard you were willing to give up the moon for Tarik Skubal. Yeah. I mean, he's won two Cy Youngs. He's a lefty. He's just better. No offense to Freddy Peralta. Now, here's his Tarik Skubal trade. Because remember, Anthony put together a bunch of potential trades for the Mets to make. It's Tarik Skubal for David Peterson, Jeff McNeil, Ryan Clifford, Jonah Tong, Brandon Sproat, and Will Watson. So you're giving up six players for Tarik Skubal. Look, I think all of that makes sense to me. And the way I put together the Skubal deal is it's Sproat or Tong. It's one of the two. David Peterson as a, hey, I'm still trying to win right now. He's under contract for one more year. I got no issue with that. And then if you want to go Vientos, Beatty, or McNeil, basically take your choice, considering Detroit's got some fluid motion going on here with Gleyber Torres being a free agent, with position versatility. I mean, you tell me who you'd prefer. And then one position player prospect, I think you're talking business here. So I think it's a lot because you're giving up both Sproat and Tong. I'd rather not. I'd rather give them one of them and then a pick of one of the position player prospects. But I certainly think you came to the table with a lot to offer for all of these players. The more I think about it, what you give up matters. Tarek Skubal is on a different level. He is a two-time Cy Young Award winner. He's the best pitcher in baseball. You have a chance to acquire the best pitcher in baseball in the prime of his career, give you, I don't even want to say a leg up in keeping him, but you give him the New York experience before you try to keep him long-term. I think he's the guy where all the rules are out the window, in my opinion. I think with Joe Ryan and Freddie Peralta, I think you have to look at it and say, all right, what is it really worth to give up? Joe Ryan is a good pitcher. He has not proven he's a top of the rotation arm. The appeal of Joe Ryan is that you have team control over him for a couple of years. The appeal of Freddie Peralta is that he's proven he's more, I don't know if I call him an ace. I call him a number one. Is there a difference between the two? Yeah, I think he can be the best pitcher on a really good rotation. Is he your traditional lockdown ace? Maybe he's a little bit short, but what I'm drawn in by Peralta is I don't think I have to give up nearly as much. And what draws me in about Peralta over Joe Ryan is that the Brewers are trying to win. And because they're trying to win, while simultaneously realizing they're not going to be able to keep Freddie Peralta, I think the return may be featuring guys who the Mets deem expendable who can help the Milwaukee Brewers. Like, again, if I compare it to what they ended up getting for Corbin Burns, which is Joey Ortiz, DL Hall, and international pick, or whatever the heck that was termed as, then do you think Ronnie Mauricio and, let's say, a lower-level pitcher prospect would get it done? Like, is that crazy? Is a recovering Christian Scott and Ronnie Mauricio enough to get a deal like that done? You could even argue I'm giving up too much, considering he's a free agent at the end of the year. So Peralta intrigues me because of the fact that I'm not going to have to, in my opinion, give up that much. Anytime, good stuff there by Anthony. I like some of his ideas. Thought that was pretty good. Pete Hoffman, I say it's your turn. The My Off-Season Plan. We've all waited to hear what you have to say about what you would do to build the New York Mets. I'm already writing down the holes I need to punch in it. But nevertheless, the floor is yours. What do you want to do this offseason?
You're going to hate me, so just bear with me. Can you do that?
I'm going to shut up and let you speak.
All right. And you, we'll get to the finances later on in life. But in a perfect world, okay, hear me out. In a perfect world, starting catcher, JT Realmuto.
So you're signing Realmuto as a free agent?
Yes.
Okay.
We are trading Francisco Alvarez. He is going to be gone, whether it's for Sandy Alcantara, whether it's for Skubal. I want both of those guys, okay? You're going to have Pete Alonso at first base. Kyle Schwarber is your DH. Bo Bichette is your second baseman.
You're a crack right now.
Francisco Lindor is still your shortstop. Alex Bregman is your third baseman. Hold on. Before you say anything, you know what I just found out about? And I don't know if the Mets know, but you could defer money. Did you know that? You could defer almost the entire contract to 10 years down the line. I understand what this is, but tell me how I'm wrong that you can't sit there and plug in all of these star players. And I got to be honest with you. I don't think Brett Beatty's going to be the guy. I don't think Mark Vientos is going to be the guy. Luis Angel's not the guy. I think they're still the younger kids are still going to make their way up. You can spend the money now, defer the money, and then by the time the kids come up and actually can play these guys, then you start paying them. And that kind of all washes itself out. And then you could reset in 30 years from now. But the point being, and I'm not even lying, I was into your Bader thing last time you talked about it. Center field, that's fine. You'll bring a young kid coming up in the future, whether it's Jet Williams, whether it's Bench, whatever the case is. You're going to trade Brandon Nimmo. You know who you're signing in left field? Cody Bellinger. You're going for Cody Bellinger. And let me tell you what the rotation is going to look like besides Nolan McClain. You're trading Brandon Sproat. He's going to be gone. You're bringing in, like I said, Skubal, Alcantara. You're signing Zach Gallen to a one-year deal with an option. Brandon Woodruff with a one-year and an option. Shohei Imanaga for a one-year and an option. Telling you right now, Diaz, Williams, Hunter Harvey, go crazy.
You want me to respond to this?
No, because I'm not done yet. The utility is Ahmed Rosario, and Miguel Andujar is added to it as well.
Boy, you are set up for major disappointment, bro.
I know, but that's how I feel. I want them. My point is this. Now, do I think any of this is realistic? It, like, half of it should be.
Well, some like of it is, yeah. Some of it is.
Well, no. You're like, some of the names are like 3 out of the 30 that I named. The point is they should go crazy at as many positions as possible. Like, if you tell me that you can get Alex Bregman, Schwarber, and Alonso back on this team, like, that shouldn't be like crazy talk. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Why?
Because currently. Like right now, before they do anything with Pete, they do anything with Edwin Diaz, the Mets have in committed money like $240 million in committed money. In fact, the number is 256. To do everything you just said would be a payroll that is obscene. And when you look at the tax that's involved, you're talking about a payroll that is not going to happen. Like Steve,
you're trading away Jeff McNeil. You're trading away Brandon Nimmo. Mm-hmm. So you're saving money certain places. Again, Starling Marte is off the books.
Okay.
You've got a bunch of other money.
Starling Marte off the books is irrelevant because I'm giving you the current payroll commitments. So Starling Marte is not on the books when I tell you $256 million. Number one. Number two, Brandon Nimmo has a full no-trade clause. So you could try to trade him. You'd have to convince him to waive that no-trade clause. And with Nimmo, McNeil, and Senga to a degree, and I was going to get to this with some of my decisions, you may have to pay down some of that money. Like, there's no guarantee a team is just going to take on the final year of Jeff McNeil's deal or even the final few years of Kodai Senga's deal or the final how many years are left of Brandon Nimmo's deal. So I get it. You named every big free agent. We like all of them to a degree. They're not adding all of them. So it's like I said this to Loogie before we did our My Mets plan idea on the radio. I said, you have to keep it somewhat realistic. Like the payroll can't. The payroll last year was 341. So to me, don't make it higher than 360. Want to say it goes up? Sure. Maybe Steve Cohen is that pissed about what happened this past year. So I'm not saying it's got to be at 340. But you can't make it $500 million. And if you do the math on all of those deals that you just laid out, you're talking about a $500 million payroll, and you could scream all day that Steve Cohen should do that. He's not going to do that.
Okay, but here's the one thing. There's two levels to this. First of all, defer some, like I said, and even with that, you're still going to – even if you defer a ton of the money like I was talking about with all these names, your still payroll is over $400 million. So I'm not an idiot, okay? A second of all, too – if you want.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To compete with the Dodgers, and again, I'm going to go back to Ohtani real quick for 1 second. Nobody in the history of the sport has ever had a contract that's $700 million up until after him and Juan Soto. He is the only person that basically gave away an opportunity to a team that said, I don't need the money right now. I'm going to defer all of it. So technically, the Dodgers payroll should be over $400 million too. It's not because he gave him a gift. Okay, so just remember that. So there's no gift here. I'm not gift packaging it. I'm just saying it's got to be that high. You want to compete with the Dodgers, you got to do this.
Well, it's not going to be that high. So, I mean, they're not signing all of those guys. It's just not realistic. So I'll give you an option. At the end of this, Rico Bronya, if you want to redo your Hoffman plan to make it more realistic, the floor will be yours. But as of right now, it's just not realistic. I mean, it's just... it's naming every guy that you want. And
yes,
you're not signing all of those guys. It's just not the case.
But Evan, am I wrong?
Yes.
And I am wrong.
Yes.
But the point is valid that I'm upset. I'm pissed. And there shouldn't be anything less than what I've deemed an all-star line. If you're going to spend $250 million right now to begin with anyway, you should have all-stars out at every position. You don't.
But that's just not the way it works. Now, will they spend more than maybe I expect? That's certainly possible. I mean, Steve Cohen is a businessman, and he understands that Met fans are upset and angry, and he wants to make sure that ballpark is filled. But I think that would not even be close to what you just prescribed. With that said... before we get to more of your emails, we asked some of our WFAN coworkers their Mets plans. So we gave each guy about 30 to 45 seconds. And I kind of want to use Sal Licata first, only because I feel like Sal will be so much more realistic than you, and you work together. So maybe Sal's idea will cleanse whatever the heck Hoff just did. So, ladies and gentlemen, you hear him on middays on WFAN right before me and Tiki. You see him on SNY. He's a great Met fan. Here is Sal Licata's off-season plan.
The wish list starts and really ends with Tarek Skubal. It's Scooble or bust. It was Soto or bust last offseason. For me, I don't care. Unless Skeens becomes available, Scooble needs to be the target for the Mets. I'd also like to bring back Pete, but only as a DH. And if he says no to that, then you got to go find yourself a solid defensive first baseman. I'd also compliment him with Bregman. I would trade McNeil and get rid of Vientos and look to move either Lindor or Nimmo. I mean, there are so many things. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't even have the bullpen on my radar. Diaz or not. Like, I'll take him back. I'm not trying to build the bullpen in the offseason. I could figure that out in season. I'd restructure the entire look of the team defensively and the lineup, and they need Scooble and probably one more free agent. I'd probably go Scooble and Ranger Suarez. That's the top of my list.
I tell you, the pitching I completely agree with. I am so with him on it's not or bust, because obviously if they can't get Tarik Skubal, there are other ways you can go. But for those who have listened to the Rico for a long time, you know I have not done this often where I say this is a guy to trade for and you got to go make yourself feel uncomfortable to get the player. I had said many times I didn't want to trade for Juan Soto. I had said many times I didn't want to trade for Dylan Cease. I remember that during spring training. I think Skubal on every level is different. And so I would agree with Sal. That's why I was aggressive in the offer I put out there a few weeks ago, that I get uncomfortable trying to get him. He is the best pitcher in baseball. This is a rare opportunity. I know you can sign him a year from now. I get it, but you're also trying to win in 2026. And I think of the free agent pitchers, of all of them, and there are some decent options. That's how I phrase it, decent. Michael King is a decent option. Dylan Cease is a decent option. Framber Valdez, Mr. Quality Start, is a decent option. The guy I'm most intrigued by, he's right, is Ranger Suarez. Pitched in the division. He's been reliable. He's crafty. Another lefty. Hurts the Phillies, if you want to throw that in there. So the pitching part, I completely agree with. I'm not trading Francisco Lindor. Did he say that? What he said in that clip? I'd be open to trade Lindor.
Okay, but again, to his point too, is something that I said. You're right. His pitching was pretty spot on, but him and I are closer on the offensive thing, where it's like got to completely change this whole core and everything.
Wait, but hold on. You're nothing like him. In fairness, can I tell you why? No. Forget about if I agree or disagree on Lindor and Nimmo and trading them. Like, that's not even relevant. He was subtracting them to then add Bregman. He wasn't adding $800 million to the payroll. He was saying, hey, you may not agree, and I don't agree, but that's not even the point. I'm going to shake things up a little bit. So Lindor is gone, but don't worry, I'm going to go bring in Bregman. Like, you just wanted to bring everybody in.
Yes. Because you got to change the core. Something stinks here. Something's rotten.
I would not trade Francisco Lindor, but I had a dream. Can I tell you my dream about Francisco Lindor, that we traded him to the Dodgers? Can I tell you about that?
Oh, boy. Go for it. Tell me.
So during the World Series, I don't know why. I think because I think about the Mets. I'm watching the World Series. I thought about a Lindor LA trade because A, Lindor would approve a trade there. Why wouldn't he? And B, the Dodgers are one of the few teams with the money to absorb the rest of the contract. So I was like, in my dreams, what am I getting back? Like, realistically, not Shohei Ohtani. You know, what would they realistically get back? So can I tell you the three pieces the Mets would be getting back? And you tell me if you'd make this trade. The answer is no, by the way. So one was a minor leaguer. Like, I didn't even know who it was, but there was a minor league prospect. The other two players were Tyler Glasnow and Andy Pajes.
Oh, my God.
That was the weird dream I had. And I was like, nah, I ain't doing that.
No, did you ask for Miguel Rojas as well? I mean, what are you doing?
The dream I had was before Rojas, you know, became the hero. I agree with his pitching. The lineup stuff, not necessarily. I don't think that Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor are A, going to get you back what you think. Like, they're the kind of guys that are more valuable to us than they would be around Major League Baseball. So while I understand the change the core, I got to change the look of the team, I think you hurt yourself more by doing that, because I don't think the return is going to be anything of equal value. I mean, jokes aside, Like, seriously, jokes aside, if the Mets did go to the Dodgers and say, hey, you're one of the few teams that can take on Lindor's contract. You know, Mookie Betts isn't going to play shortstop long term. He's going to move back to the outfield. What do you honestly think the Dodgers would offer? Like, jokes aside, they've got the money to take on the contract, but now they got to decide what they're giving you. And the reality is, again, I wouldn't make that fictitious trade I dreamt about, but that would be the offer. It wouldn't be much better than that. And it's not a slight on Lindor. It's just he's in his 30s. He's got a long contract. It is what it is. So when you talk about dealing Lindor or talk about Brandon Nimmo and trading them, which they're not doing, but hey, my Mets plan, we talk about it. Understand you're getting very little back. The return isn't what you think. And if the return isn't what you think, what are we doing? Anyhow, want some more emails? Let's hear some more emails. This is from Noah. Noah writes, all right, Evan, I got a plan for the Mets offseason. I've listed the whole roster below with some notes, but here's the gist of it. Jet Williams, Jonah Tong, Ronnie Mauricio, and AJ Ewing for Sandy Alcantara. No more prospect hugging. Now's the time to make the move for a true affordable ace. I'd rather have Alcantara than Skeens, because Skeens is a Tommy John surgery waiting to happen, while Sandy just got a shiny brand new UCL. If not Alcantara, go get Freddie Peralta for a lesser package. That is way too much for Sandy. I like Sandy Alcantara. I wanted him last year. We talked about him. I even thought deep down they would get him. You're giving up Jet Williams, Jonah Tong, Ronnie. I cannot do that. And if you want to call me a prospect hugger, that's fine. That is way too much. Number two, re-sign Pete Alonso on a 5-year, $150 million deal, and Edwin Diaz to a 5-year, $125 million deal. By the way, that is paying Pete Alonso $30 million a year, which is fine. That's what he made this past year. I think being at between $27 and $32 million a year is probably where Pete ends up in terms of average annual. The question is years. I don't think the Mets are giving him 5 years. I'll tell you that right now. Edwin Diaz, you've got at $125 million over 5 years. So what's that? 25 a year? I can see him getting that. Maybe not the 5 years, but certainly the money. Number three, you're going to love this one. Sign Alex Bregman to play third base. 5 years, $150 million. Brett Beatty plays second base full-time, or switch them. Bregman to second, Beatty to third. I want to make this clear to you, Hoff, and to you, Noah, and to everybody else out there. I would love that. I am not against signing both Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman. I guess I'm just the bearer of bad news that they're not going to. That they're not going to spend that kind of money with two long-term contracts on two guys in their 30s. Not happening. It's one or the other. If Pete's gone, will they sign Bregman? It's on the table. And then maybe Brett Beatty ends up at first base, or Mark Vientos ends up at first base. Anyhow, more of Noah's plans. Keep Tyrone Taylor in center. Move him to the bench when Carson Bench is ready. In the meantime, oh, this is crazy. Resign Jose Siri as an expendable backup. I know nobody wants to see him there, but he's just the best free agent option for that role. I mean, he's the best free agent option in terms of, like, cheapness, because the best center field option is Harrison Bader in terms of being the bridge. And I'll get more into that later when I unveil my plan. As far as the bullpen's concerned, re-sign Tyler Rogers, sign Luke Weaver and Shelby Miller, and obviously Brooks Raley and AJ Minter return. Sign Josh Bell to be a power bat off the bench and to spell Alonso at first base. Is he better defensively than Alonso? I don't know, but he's not going to get pitchers injured throwing to first base. No, he's not good defensively, by the way. Number eight, get rid of Senga, even if it means eating the money. You'll have a starting pitching staff of Alcantara, McLean, Manaea, Holmes, Peterson, and Sprout or Tong, whoever you don't trade for Alcantara, ready to step in. Payroll analysis. According to my guesses, this will produce a similar or even lower payroll to what we saw this year. Given how Mets fans showed up in 2025, Cohen has no excuse to reduce payroll. I think keeping Alonso, so that's kind of matching what he did last year. You've saved $20 million on Marte, bringing Diaz back for a little bit more money, like, yeah, you're below last year's kind of number before you get to the taxes. But now you want to fill out this bullpen with Luke Weaver and Shelby Miller. They're going to get paid. So I don't know if you're right in terms of how that money is going to break down, but I do think it's somewhat in a similar vicinity. I tell you that. By the way, one of our emailers said, first thing I would do is fire Carlos Mendoza and hire Bruce Bochy. That did not happen, but Bruce Bochy is back on the Giants staff. All right, let's hear one of our other fellow WFA and coworkers. How about my guy in afternoons, Tommy Lugauer? They call him Positive Tommy. Let's hear Positive Tommy's My Mets offseason plan.
Positive Tommy here. Loogie. And this is the Positive Tommy Mets wish list for this offseason. Number one for me, and it's top priority, the Mets have to re-sign Edwin Diaz. There's no replacing Edwin. There's no recreating Edwin in the algorithm. Number two, Pete Alonso. I don't care what he gets offered in the open market. The Mets must match it. Number three, I'm trading for Scooble. Now, if the Tigers want Nolan McLean, I would not make that deal. I would wait for next offseason and take my chances trying to sign Scooble. But if you could get Scooble without McLean, you do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. Number four, I'm signing Michael King to round out the rotation. I would use Senga as a swingman, and David Peterson would be in the deal for Scooble. Next, I'm signing Cody Bellinger. He is a perfect fit. You have your center fielder. You have your first baseman possibly of the future if you want to move Alonso to DH. He's a great fit. He's a great defender. It would bother Yankee fans. And I think Cody Bellinger is just the perfect match for this Mets team. I would then round it off the offseason by trading Jeff McNeil and signing a bridge reliever to Edwin Diaz.
Good plans. I like a lot of it. The Cody Bellinger stuff is really, really interesting because I'm afraid that the Mets would view Cody Bellinger as the Pete Alonso replacement. And so it's Bellinger or Alonso, not Bellinger with Alonso. But I do want to go through what I like about Bellinger being here with Pete Alonso. Number one, he can play first base, right? Now, he hasn't done it a lot in the last 7 years, but he can do it. And I think because he's such a great athlete and because he's defended so well in the outfield, it's just a fair assumption that he would defend at first base rather well. But what I love about Cody Bellinger is that he can be an everyday player who plays a different position and forces someone else to DH on a daily basis. So the Mets don't have a DH. They basically have never had a DH since the DH came to the National League. If the only bats you add, stick with me on this, forget Alex Bregman, forget anything like that. The only bats you add is keeping Pete and just adding Cody Bellinger. You would go into 2026 with Cody Bellinger being the center fielder. Right? Simple as that. He's the center fielder. Who's your DH on opening day? I don't know. Maybe it's a returning Starling Marte. Whomever it is, when Carson Benj is ready or Jet Williams is ready, whoever ends up being the center fielder, Cody Bellinger plays a couple of days in left field, Brandon Nimmo DHs, plays a couple of days in right field, Juan Soto DHs, plays a couple of days at first base, Pete Alonso DHs. And so what you're able to do if you're David Stearns, is improve run prevention because every time Bellinger plays, he's a defensive upgrade over whomever he's playing over. Now, Nimmo graded out well last year in left field, but one would assume as he gets older, that won't continue. And Cody Bellinger is better. So does it make sense? And let's talk through this. If you're able to add another big bat, right? So Pete's back. They somehow made a deal to keep him. Would it make more sense to add Bellinger or Bregman? Because if Bregman's here, he's your third baseman. If Bellinger is here, he's everywhere. He plays center field until the position is taken. He plays left field to DH Nimmo. He plays right field to DH Soto. He plays first base to DH Pete. And what you do by that is not only improve the defense, which is obvious, but you keep all those players fresh. So I like it. If there's a willingness to not only spend on Pete, but spend on Bellinger. And that's the question in terms of how much money they're willing to spend. But I do like that. because it protects you in center field until anybody is ready. And it also improves your defense without replacing Nimmo in left field or replacing Soto in right field or replacing Pete at first base. So I do love that idea. I give that the positive, Tommy. Here's an email from Majid who writes, this is my plan. This is a recent email. This is from today, right as this podcast started. So I try to mix it up in terms of time frames. He writes, trade number one, the Mets receive Tarek Skubal and Spencer Torkelson, who, remember, the Mets were attached to last year before they kept Pete. Torkelson had a decent year, by the way, Hoff, so don't crap all over him.
He did. He's a little overrated, though, in my opinion.
In return, the Detroit Tigers would get, this is a laundry list of players, Jeff McNeil, David Peterson, Ronnie Mauricio, Tyrone Taylor, Jet Williams, Ryan Clifford, Eli Serrano, and Jonathan Santucci. It's just so many guys. I'm trying to like digest it. Obviously, Clifford and Jet Williams and Mauricio, that's a pretty good return. Peterson and McNeil help them in the short term. Like, McNeil and Peterson actually could be good fits for Detroit. Now, they're not moving the needle on a Skubal trade, but they're adding to it. Obviously, you got to give them the big return of young players, but those are veteran players that can certainly help them. Free agent wise, Pete Alonso, 4 years, 120, 5 years, 150. So everyone's kind of in the same range on giving him the $30 million a year, whether it's a 4 or 5 year deal. Bo Bichette on a 7 year, $150 million deal. Edwin Diaz, 4 years, 85. Tyler Rogers on a 1 year, $14 million deal. I'm sorry, Harrison Bader on a 1 year, $14 million deal. Tyler Rogers, 2 years, $18 million. And based on that, you've got Bichette as your second baseman, Lindor as your shortstop, Beatty at third base, Torkelson and Alonso switch off between first base and DH, Bader and Benj in center, Soto in right, Nimmo in left, and you got a pitching staff led by Tarek Skubal with Nolan McClain, Clay Holmes, Sean Manaea, Brandon Sproat, and Kodai Senga. That's his idea. Let's hear from one of our other WFAN coworkers. This guy does a great job on the digital department. And he also does plenty of overnights. His name is Anthony Gallo, does a great job. I've also seen him do like plenty of Met podcasts as well. So he's around, big Met fan. I once yelled at him because he dared to compare John Main to Jacob deGrom. And as Anthony would tell you, if you ever met him, he'd say it was the most mad he's ever seen me get because he offended my senses. Here is the offseason plan of Anthony Gallo.
What I want from the Mets this offseason, I want Alonso back. I want Diaz back. Diaz, most importantly, I want McNeil out. I wouldn't be opposed to trading Nimmo and one of the young third basemen. And I want competent major league baseball players. If you're putting a center fielder out there, second base, third base, catcher, first, whatever it is, if Alonso's DHing, I want competent baseball players. I don't need superstars at every position. I don't need to go trade and blow up the farm system for an ace. I need competent, real major league baseball players in the bullpen, in the field surrounding our stars. That's what I need.
He wants competent baseball players. Very nice. Very nice. It seems like everybody wants Pete Alonso back, and it feels like everybody's willing to kind of go in that 4 or 5 year area, which I'm not even convinced the Mets are. No one has said 7 years, which is the reported want of Scott Boras and Pete Alonso. I tell you this right now. I'm very worried. I don't think they're going to offer him 5 years. I don't even think they're going to offer him 4 years. I don't think a lot has changed between last year and this year, other than maybe a little desperation from Steve Cohen. But I think they're going 3 years and that's it. I'm just predicting here. I think they would go 3 years, 90. I think they would do that. Maybe even throw another opt-out in there, even though that means nothing at this point. I think all it takes is one team to offer him 4 or 5 years and he's gone. And I sit here right now with you guys and I tell you, I think he's gone because I don't think the Mets are going to go there. But what's odd is I think they would with Kyle Schwarber. And I don't know if it's because, well, he's already a DH. And so you feel like he's not hurting you defensively, even though he doesn't play defense. So I would argue I'd like a guy who plays some defense and then I can DH him. I'm not concerned Pete Alonso is going to refuse to DH. So I find it odd, if that's what the Mets are willing to do, that they're willing to go 4 years on Schwarber, but not for Pete Alonso when Schwarber's a little bit older. So that's the way I view it.
I just want to say something for the record. Please, everyone, take a note, because I am a huge Pete Alonso guy, and I am somebody who says lifetime contract. If it's 7 years, I don't care. I just want him on this team. He is 100% gone this year. He's not coming back. Just not happening. So though I want him and I would give him everything, he's not coming back.
Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I don't think he's coming back. I think there's just such a big difference between last year. There's two things that make things different. I don't think the Mets have changed. Like David Stearns and even Steve Cohen, but really David Stearns, I think they view him exactly the same way today as they did last year, which is we'd like him back. And maybe they would go to a third year, like I said. But I also think when you take away the qualifying offer, which is no longer attached to him, when you combine it with he had a better year, and there just seems to be more logical teams that are interested. I mean, the Boston Red Sox make a lot of sense. The Mariners, if they decide to move on from Naylor or lose Naylor, make a lot of sense. I mean, the Mariners seem like a committed team to trying to get over the hump after what happened last year, losing the seventh game of the American League Championship Series. So I think that there's more competition for him. And so when we did that replacing Pete Alonso episode, I really gave it a lot of thought. Like, all right, of all of those guys we went through, and it's not just first baseman, it's bats, who do you feel most comfortable with? And it's tough. I still prefer Pete. I still think he gives him the best chance to win, but I do admit that there are plenty of options for the Mets to replace him with. Let's hear from Alvin Cintron, my man Al, big Met fan, does a lot of overnights on WFAN. Let's hear Al's Mets offseason plan.
All right, Ev, here it is. Number one priority, it's not a positive offseason if the Mets don't re-sign Edwin Diaz. That's the number one priority. If it's not done, the offseason's already a failure, period. I'm all for not trading five prospects for Skubal. I'm willing to wait it out. Maybe at the deadline, the Tigers think and trade for him and trade him away, I should say. But I'm all for trading for Joe Ryan or Freddie Peralta, which will be less prospects, and their contracts are way better. And you can use that money also to go and sign a Suarez or Valdez. And now you have McClain, Sproat, Valdez, and whoever it is, Peralta or Ryan. And then, as far as Pete Alonso goes, it's 5 years. He don't want to take it. If he gets a better offer, 7 years, see you later. It's easier to find offense than find starting pitching. Good starting pitching.
By the way, Al sounded like he was running a marathon.
Yeah, I know. I thought he would maybe lift the weights, have like a little sip of something while he was doing it. I don't know. He was working out for sure.
He was working out. He was pumping iron. He's right, and this is where I admit I take my emotional attachment out. Replacing Alonso is a lot less complicated than replacing Edwin Diaz. There is no question about that. I know that sometimes relievers come out of nowhere, and so, yes, you can find that. But Edwin Diaz has proven to be one of those rare, reliable relievers. And when you look at Bregman and Bellinger and Naylor and Schwarber, would I prefer Pete over all of them? Yeah, I probably would, for a variety of reasons that we can get into. But there isn't this enormous drop-off. There just isn't. So that's why I do think the Mets are going to do line in the sand and say, hey, if you don't want it, you're gone. And here's the most important thing, though, that needs to be different from the last offseason. The Mets can't sit around and wait. They can't. Because the more of those guys that come off the board, the less wiggle room they have. You know, it's funny. We sit here when we talk about these offseason plans. Everyone's available. But that's not the way the offseason works. Eventually, someone's coming off the board. And then another guy comes off the board. And then another guy comes off the board. And so if a lot of the guys we're mentioning as Alonso replacements sign elsewhere, and now it's February, and the Mets haven't done it because they're still waiting on Pete, it puts them in this weird spot where they almost have to keep him. Because at that point, if they lose him, there aren't those attractive alternatives to replace his bat. And the reason I'm so adamant about replacing his bat
is the Mets didn't score enough runs last year. That isn't me saying that was their biggest problem. They had a lot of problems. Their starting pitching was god-awful. I'm not ignoring that. But the Mets did not score enough runs. That is indisputable, as much as people want to fight me about this. They did not score enough runs. They scored fewer runs last year than they did in 2024. The surprise out of nowhere, 2024 New York Mets. So while every season is different, and there are players who will give you more production in 26 than they did 25, taking away the kind of production that Pete provided and not being able to replace it is very difficult. Let me get to an email from Nick. Nick color-coded his email. It's very, very long, but when you color-code an email, that shows me you're serious. Nick writes, Evan, I think a difficult obstacle we have to overcome from the outside looking in is how to evaluate certain players based on whatever limited information we have. Even the best doctors need a full data set to prescribe treatment. That said, my plan is based on a few educated guesses. I'm going to focus most of my energy on the rotation since I believe great teams need a clear strength and we have a unique opportunity in front of us before that. The pen. I'm staying away from the guys who plan to throw intense innings in the WBC this year since I'm looking to minimize risk. Blow Diaz away early, but request that he not participate in the WBC. I then try to sign Raisel Iglesias away from Atlanta as our setup guy if he agrees to skip the WBC. Otherwise, I'd look to bring someone like Colby Milner to pair with Diaz, bring back Tyler Rogers, and look into David Robertson. The lineup. I'd offer Pete 5 years, 150, but tell him he has to agree with being mainly a designated hitter, and he has a week to decide. I'd want to jump on Paul Goldschmidt. We need leadership before the Yankees lock him up, and this would maximize Pete's bat for both the short and long term. By the way, I don't think you have to worry about, you know, locking Goldie up. I think he'll be there. I think he'll be available. If he says no, Pete Alonso, Kyle Schwarber gets his money, and he is our DH. Finally, I try to trade for Luis Robert Jr. to hold the position for Carson Benj. If Benj is traded for one of the aces, we pivot to Cody Bellinger. I'd bring back Starling Marte for a bench role. I think that's very reasonable that you try to sign Pete, you put a timetable on it, and your quick pivot is to Kyle Schwarber because you are able to replace the bat and then improve your defense at first base. My one negative with Schwarber is, like, he doesn't play the field at all. I mean, you could stick him in right field, but why would you do that? It doesn't really serve any purpose. That's why the idea of Bellinger, not to replace Pete, I guess that's the inherent problem. Like, I don't think Bellinger is nearly as good as Pete offensively. I'm sorry. It's just, it's different. He is different. Doesn't strike out nearly as much. I like him as more of a complementary piece than a replacement piece. Schwarber is more of a replacement piece, but I digress. Nick goes on, go ace shopping and leave space in the cart for two. Call the Pirates about Paul Skeens. I am willing to offer Nolan McClain, but only if they'll focus on mainly lottery tickets to fill out the trade. Otherwise, I'm open to anything outside of pairing Tong and Sproat. Call the Tigers about Tarek Skubal, even if I can get Skeens. I'm going for both of them. If Pittsburgh somehow says yes, I'll have a chance of creating a super rotation to win a title in the year before the looming lockout, not to mention what the WBC brings in terms of injury risk. I think since the Tigers are looking for MLB-ready players and the Pirates would value the future more, we have the capital to pull both deals off and still have some young talent left. If the Pirates need time, I'd at least ask them who they like so I can try and protect those players in a potential Paul Skeens deal. The rest of the rotation. My plan is based on what I suspect is going on with our current arms, David Peterson and Clay Holmes. I think Peterson and Holmes hit a wall due to the innings increase. I'm confident Peterson can be a reliable mid-rotation starter next year, and because of that, I'm going to assume Detroit feels the same way. He's gone in a deal for Skubal. I think Holmes can increase his innings and give us a mid-rotation performance. However, I'm thinking he's a potential injury risk due to his workload in 2025. I'll protect myself by relying on him as a fifth starter. Senga and Manaea. I think Manaea's issues are bone chips, and since he's refusing treatment, I'm refusing his rotation spot. He's in the pen until he has surgery. Damn, you're running a hard bargain. I think Senga's issues are between his ears, and I'm going to assume that other teams evaluate him that way too. I'm not giving him away, but I think I can get a good piece from a small market team since he has 2 years of control and good contract. I dangle him to the Pirates and Tigers as a secondary piece, or otherwise I would try to flip him to a team with a really good, expensive setup guy to offer back. For a bullpen arm, I would want to wait to deal him later in the offseason after the high-end starter market heats up. Good stuff. I do appreciate that email. There's no indication the Pirates are trading Paul Skeens. It doesn't hurt to ask, but it doesn't feel like it's a realistic thing right now. It just doesn't. One guy or guys I have not mentioned a lot of when talking about Pete Alonso replacements, and they certainly are some of the players from Japan. Obviously, Munetaka Murakami is the big one. Look, I'm not against any of these players. It's just, it's so difficult because we don't know them. And so it's tough to be passionate about, hey, let Pete go and sign Munetaka Murakami. I don't know. We've gotten a mixed bag of returns from guys that come over from Japan. I'm not even playing the game of just assuming he's going to sign with the Dodgers, though it's likely. Here's my take specifically on the two position players, Murakami and Akimoto. What I know, how they project, and what I would feel if they are signed. They're neither are in my offseason plans, only because I admit, it's an unknown. Munetaka Murakami feels like a DH. He feels like a Alonso replacement because he can play first base or third base. He probably ends up in DH, and he's that potential big bat. We know the numbers, the gaudy numbers he has put up before in Japan, and he's only 26 years old. How would I feel if that's the replacement? I guess I'd end up being excited because of the unknown and the possibility he's the next great slugger, but I don't know. I mean, the appeal is he's 26, and the appeal is he can become an all-time great player. We don't know that, but the we don't know is why I would be hesitant. The other player is Kazuma Akimoto. He is the third baseman, right-hand hitter, 29 years old, can play first or third, and supposedly is a really good defender. Again, I'd feel the same way. Like, I don't know. They're young, and that's the appeal. I mean, most of these free agents we talk about are in their 30s and probably on the wrong side of their career. But those two guys are legitimate Alonso replacements, are legitimate additions, even if they kept Pete Alonso, especially based on the price that they end up getting. This team needs to improve at DH. And sometimes you can improve at DH by just bringing in a DH. And sometimes you can improve at DH by bringing in a player like a Cody Bellinger who plays multiple positions. Are you ready for my plan? I have waited a long time to unveil my plan. So I've hinted at a few things. Let's get right to it. Number one, I am trying to keep Pete Alonso. Do I have a line in the sand? This is where I would be a terrible general manager. I want the player back. And so I think I'd be willing to go as far as someone else's. You know what I mean? Like, if a team is willing to go to a fourth or fifth year, I'll go to a fourth or fifth year. I think that when you sign your own player, you are going to get less crap if he ages out badly at the end of the deal. When you bring in a free agent, when you bring in someone who's done nothing for your team and it ages out badly, you get more crap for it. And by the way, I feel that way as a fan. Like, I will be okay with Alonso aging badly more so than I would with Schwarber. What? I mean, isn't that obvious? Doesn't that not make sense? So I look at all the possibilities, and I still think Pete is the best option. Now, I've heard a lot of voices. You heard Sal say it in his plan. A lot of emailers saying it. I want him to DH more. I do, too. And so what I would do is I would sign Ty France to a one-year contract. Ty France is a guy that can play first base. Apparently, he played it very well for Minnesota and Toronto based on some of his gradings that he got. But he also is very versatile. You want versatility? Here's Ty France. And so that's a guy who can play a little bit of first base. Is he going to play a lot of first base? No, maybe not a lot, but he gives you that defensive option you are looking for. Let me continue with the lineup. I am trading Jeff McNeil. What am I getting back? Probably not a lot. I think he can be used in potential trades for starting pitchers as throw-ins, but for the sake of this discussion, I am literally dumping him. I think that unlike Pete Hoffman's mysterious world we live in where the Mets have no budget, they do have a budget. And so if I can clear the money of Jeff, even if it means picking up a few dollars, so let's say I clear $10 million because I picked up a few, I think that can benefit this team. I also think it's just time. I appreciate McNeil's skill sets. I appreciate his time here. Time to move on. It's time to open up second base for something new, and it's time to get that puss off his face and get him out of here. Okay? Hate to be, just be honest. See, he's gone. I am very mixed about Kodai Senga. I like him. I've always liked him. But I think of the money that I'm trying to clear, because I do have big plans, I think he's got the most appeal as a pick compared to anybody else. Like, Sean Manaea is not getting you a damn thing back. Kodai Senga is. A, he doesn't make that much money compared to other starting pitchers, and he was good until he got hurt. I completely agree with one of our more recent emailers that the value back on Senga may actually be pretty good. So I have dumped McNeil. I have dumped Senga. I'm probably getting minor leaguers. I don't think I'm getting back of the bullpen guys. I don't think I'm getting anybody that helps me. I think I am placing them to kind of clear up some money. I am making the big push for Tarik Skubal. I have pointed out where I am willing to go and how that could impact the rest of my offseason. Obviously, if a guy like Francisco Alvarez is in the deal, then where do I go at catcher? Maybe I do take Hoff's idea of trying to bring JT or Almuto in on a one-year deal. Do I have enough confidence to just simply start Luis Torrens every day? Not really. He doesn't hit enough, though his defense is really good. But I prefer I don't have to use Alvarez in that deal. I do. But I want Tarik Skubal when I'm going in. If I can't get him, the pitcher I prefer most from a trade standpoint is Freddy Peralta. Because I think the ask is just not going to be that high. I don't think it can be. And I think the return that you can give them is major league talent, which we will be easier to deal. You know, does Ronnie Mauricio and a middling pitching prospect get the deal done? It may. I know that sounds nuts. I think that may get the deal done. But I'm going one or the other. Because if I go in a free agency to add a starting pitcher, the two arms I am intrigued by are Ranger Suarez and Michael King. More intrigued by Suarez than King. I think the appeal of King is that he may not get a long-term deal. But Ranger Suarez is young. He has shown a level of durability. He has pitched in this division. And so would I go 5 years for Ranger Suarez? I think you have to. And I've got no problem doing that. So if all of a sudden I'm adding Skubal and Suarez to the top of my rotation, let's freaking go. If I can't get Skubal, it's Freddy Peralta. I think I can get one of the two. And I think this is the time to be aggressive and make a trade, which I think David Stearns is willing to do. As far as the bullpen is concerned, I know we have this feeling of adding Yankee rejects. Luke Weaver is the perfect guy. Because Luke Weaver showed you just enough last year and the year before that to say, it's in there. He's converted to the bullpen. He's been effective. I don't know what the hell happened at the very end. But Luke Weaver, and by the way, I just assume I'm bringing Diaz back as I am bringing Diaz back. All of a sudden, just by adding Luke Weaver, I look at my bullpen and I see Diaz, Weaver, Minter, and Raleigh. That's not bad. That's a pretty damn good start. And I think from there, I can go cheap and I can go, hey, you never know, with the rest of my bullpen. I think that's a nice little foursome to have. Going back to the position players. They need center field to be reasonably good until Carson Bench is ready. And that's why you get on that phone with Harrison Bader. You try to make good on whatever the hell happened 2 years ago, and you bring him back. And what I would sell to Bader is this. I'd say, Harrison, you're the center fielder until Carson Bench is ready. But once Carson Bench is ready, you're going to play. And he may say, how am I going to play? Like, how am I going to play? Because we want a DH Brandon Nimmo. We want a DH Juan Soto. We also not sure how ready Bench is ever going to be. Maybe he has to sit against some tough lefties. So I think you can tell Bader you're almost an everyday player. Now, I prefer him as a fourth outfielder, but I think for the sake of what this team needs, which is defense and the ability to have Nimmo and Soto DH on a frequent basis, he can bring you that. Now, would I prefer Cody Bellinger in that role? I would. Cody Bellinger's a better player. But I am just really concerned, especially with the allotment of money that we're throwing out there, that the Mets would go that far. As far as second base is concerned, this is where more money is being thrown out there. I am very intrigued by Luis Arraez. And I'm intrigued by Arraez for two reasons. I think in a lot of ways, he's a better version of Jeff McNeil. He is what maybe we thought Jeff McNeil was early in his career. He doesn't hit for as much power, no question. He's not a defender at all. But as a bat on ball, high average player, he's that. And I get that's his one skill. And the way I view Arraez, if I bring him in, and this is where I'm talking about clearing money and having enough money, 3 years, $45 million, that feels reasonable for Arraez. I hope he's not getting much more than that. The way I view him is second base and DH. He plays a little second base. If Luis Angel Acuna or Ronnie Mauricio, who I have not traded yet, can somehow put it all together, they play more second base, Arraez becomes my designated hitter. So I'm not married to Arraez at second where he's not that good, and I've got other good defensive options still on this team that could take that job. So here's what I got, my big My Mets plan. Alonso and Diaz are back. I try to trade for Skubal. If I can't, I trade for Freddy Peralta. Either way, I sign Ranger Suarez. I add multiple relievers, but the one I would like to add is Luke Weaver. I would add Harrison Bader as a fourth outfielder slash you're going to play a lot. And I would bring Luis Arraez in to play second base and potentially DH. That is my Met offseason plan. Do you like it? Is it good enough? Pete Hoffman, your thoughts.
I like a lot of it. There's certainly you bringing Alonso back to, you know, the way that you put it is basically the way I want to put it. I'm just saying I don't even need to play the game. You're just the Met for life. You're saying play the game. Once somebody offers them something, match it. Call it a day and just say that's it. I'm basically trying to say the same thing, but I don't want to play the game anymore. I just want it to end. But you and I are on the same page. Here's where I will twist a couple things around here and ask you a question. So you said Skubal, you said Peralta. I don't know how much Peralta's making. If neither of those guys are able to, would you consider Alcantara or even Luis Castillo?
So it's not that I wouldn't consider it. It's that I don't think the price is going to be worth it. I think with Skubal, the expensive price is worth it. I think with Peralta, it's not going to be nearly as expensive as we think because he only has 1 year left. Sandy Alcantara pitches in the NL East. And it just feels like it's going to take an awful lot to get him. And I don't think he's worth Jet Williams and Brandon Sproat if that's truly what needs to be had for him. And I like Sandy Alcantara. It's not a knock on him. It's just I don't want to give up that level of prospect for him. I give it up for Skubal, obviously. I don't think it's worth it for him. Joe Ryan is also very appealing, but I guess I have less of an appetite to trade big prospects for those guys, which is why it's Skubal and Peralta, one of those two guys. And I believe it or not, I have a level of confidence they could pull that off. I really do. I feel like Skubal is realistic. I think the Mets are the most desperate, and I think they also have the package to get it done. And if somehow I'm wrong about that, I'd be very surprised if the Brewers aren't trading Freddy Peralta.
And as far as like Bader and stuff like that, you know me, I'm a Bader guy, so I'm all about that. The bullpen, I think that Weaver's not the guy to go for. I'd go for Williams more than anything else, but that's just me from the Yankees, failure's take. And then I don't like Luis Arraez. I know he's a solid player. I know what he does. Is that one thing that he does good enough to put on this roster? Yes, but we kind of saw that with Jeff McNeil. And as soon as the hitting goes away, it's kind of done.
I don't think we saw that from Jeff McNeil. I think that's what we thought Jeff McNeil was. And he wasn't. Like he did not hit for that average in years. He won a batting title 3 years ago. Now, McNeil's a better all-around player than Arraez, 100%. But I'm acknowledging that about him. He's not going to hit for a lot of pop. Okay, the Mets had a lot of home runs. He's not a great defender. Okay, I envision him DHing a lot. I think what's important is having differences in your lineup, is having guys in your lineup who are so different to pitch to. And I think having a rise in the middle of a batting order that features Pete Alonso and features Juan Soto and features Francisco Lindor. I mean, those guys strike out. It happens. To have a guy who never strikes out, I think there's a value to that. And look, I got to be careful about the money, because is he really worth $15 million a year? Probably not. It's probably like a little bit of an overpay. But I like the idea of a reliable bat, because who would their second baseman be if it's not Jeff McNeil? You're talking about Mauricio, Acuna. There's unknown to that, unless you're signing Bo Bichette, like you suggested, or even DH. Like, DH is still wide open. So I think I almost look at him as, in a weird way, a better version of Jeff McNeil is almost not really fair to Jeff. It's just a better version of what we thought McNeil was, the high average, Tony Gwynion-like kind of hitter, and arises more like that. So I know it's an overpay at $15 million a year, but again, I like having a guy in your lineup who's just impossible to strike out. He comes up with a runner on third in less than two outs. You feel decent that contact and good things will happen.
So, all right. Give me your straight up starting lineup as far as rotation goes. What does it look like? It's Scooble. Ideally Scooble, then
Scooble and Ranger Suarez as your 1-2, followed by Nolan McClain, Clay Holmes, and Sean Manaea.
So Manaea staying in that.
Yeah, I don't think I could trade him. I've dumped Kodai Senga. I'm assuming David Peterson is going back in a Scooble trade. So essentially, I'm replacing Senga and Peterson with Tarik Scooble and Ranger Suarez. I think with Manaea, like, he's here. I mean, I think Senga's got more value. I think you can actually turn that contract into someone will take it, and you could even get a relatively decent piece back. You're not getting anything for Sean Manaea off of the year he just had. I think his value is much less than Senga based on the money that's being made and even the performance of last year.
And Peterson's going in that Scooble deal.
I am assuming he's in the Scooble trade. If he's not, or if it's Freddy Peralta, then I still have David Peterson and I even have more pitching depth. But yes, I want to trade for one of the two aces, ideally, and I would sign Ranger Suarez or Michael King. But I kind of lean towards Suarez as being the guy that I would add.
All right, let me take another shot at this, okay? A little bit different, okay?
Go ahead.
More realistic. And I did a little bit more homework, which is kind of what I was trying to do, but you caught me off guard, so it was a little messy. But all right. So I still want Alonso at first base. I still want JT Realmuto at catcher because I'm trading Alvarez. I won't take Schwarber at DH. That's going to be a little bit more open-ended. Bregman's going to have to play third base, though, because Beatty's going to be your second baseman. Lindor is your shortstop. In this scenario, you're trading Brandon Nimmo to Colorado somehow. I believe you're going to get Mickey Moniak back, who is making no money whatsoever, but can play the outfield. He'll play left field for a little bit for you while you need him. And you will be getting maybe like Antonio Senzatella back, but whatever. That's like a throw-in type of thing, just to match the money a little bit. But you're going to swap money around. You're going to trade for either Scooble or Alcantara. If not, you're going to sign Zach Gallen and Brandon Woodruff. Those are the two guys you should be focusing in on. I don't mind the Suarez thing, but this is back to where I don't think you're going to get the Suarez deal. I think you're going to have to find a short deal with one of those guys. Gallen didn't have a great year last year, but Woodruff, you're still concerned about the injuries.
Yeah, no, and you're right, because that is always something that we're going to believe David Stearns prefers until he does something otherwise. He's not going to want to give a long-term contract to a pitcher. The only long-term contract he has offered to a pitcher was Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which... okay. Nobody can blame him. Yeah. Which leads me to believe he would with Tarik Skubal as the best pitcher in baseball. Everyone else is like kind of a, I'm not sure. All right, that was more realistic. Good job, Hoff.
And here, just a couple, just I want two other names for you to realize these two arms in the bullpen could make a significant difference. Drew Pomerantz for a very minimal salary.
Yeah.
Hunter Harvey, I like. He's always injured, but if not, even a Brent Suter, whatever. And then Ahmed Rosario should be the utility guy. That's what you got to do.
Bring him home, baby. Bring home those former failed Met prospects as utility players.
I love it.
Very good. Very good. We appreciate it. Unfortunately, we couldn't get to every email. There's lots of them. But luckily, we do Rico Bronya mailbags. We try to do them every Friday night. So you can send your email in, therico@gmail.com, and we will certainly try to read it and respond to it. Now that we've laid out our offseason plans, we will dive very deep and specifically into each free agent class. So coming up in just a couple of days, we'll do a deep dive on free agent starting pitchers. You've heard us today talk about a few of those names. We'll go deep into those names, including some of the international pitchers that maybe we don't know that much about. So that'll begin coming up over the weekend. So remember to subscribe to the Rico Bronya because we got a ton of episodes as we dive into the offseason, which officially begins, free agency officially begins on Thursday at 5 o'clock. So if you've downloaded this and it's Thursday, it's in just a few hours. But we appreciate you listening and checking out the Rico Bronya. Again, download, subscribe, say what's up. Thank you very much for listening to another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.